I hope that's on. A little over a month ago in the mission conference, I surrendered to go to Mexico as a missionary. And my dad asked me this morning to speak to the church and share with you what's been going on in my life and my heart, the life of my family, what my plans are, what my purposes are, what my burden is, and so that's what I'm going to try and do this morning. I've talked about it for a little over a month, so it may seem like to me I'm saying the same thing over again, but some of you may not have heard, and so I'm going to try and share with you. It actually goes back, well, wasn't quite sure where to start. I'm the son of a missionary. I've traveled across Mexico many times. I have worked in Mexico. I've spent 26 years actually working in Mexico, 3 years as a missionary and 3 years in business. Spent 3 years in Guatemala, learned to speak Spanish in Guatemala as the son of a missionary. So missions are a part of my life, part of my way of thinking. But about five years ago, I was living in Del Rio, Texas, going to a church there. And I heard about a preacher, a local pastor in Fresnillo, Zacatecas, that had been arrested and thrown in jail without really going to trial. Never sure quite exactly why they were after him, but they had been after the missionary that led him to the Lord earlier and run him out of town. And they were after him to run him out of town. They put him in jail and he stayed there for 4 years. The Lord laid it on my heart to go see him. It wasn't so much that I felt so much sympathy for him, except that I was impressed by a preacher who was wrongfully accused of doing something vile. No evidence, no trial. They throw him in jail. And while he's in jail, he starts witnessing to other prisoners. They're getting saved. He's baptizing them in the jail. Now, you think about that. He took a 55-gallon drum, filled it with water, and dunked them. But he's baptizing, I think, over 23 different people in that jail. On Sundays, when the families are allowed to come, he's holding Sunday school services and preaching services. He actually got all the way up to witness to the director of the jail, the warden, if you will, who made a profession of faith. And I got to meet all these people. But the Lord laid it on my heart to drive down there, and I was going to be encouraged by him, actually. I'd like to be close to somebody who's got enough gumption to be put in that situation and still want to serve the Lord. So I figured I'd go rub elbows with him a little bit. Turned out I encouraged him as much as he encouraged me. But on the trip, back and forth, I don't know if you've ever been to Zacatecas, it's a high, empty, dry desert for the most part. At least the northern two-thirds of it. It's very productive in agriculture. Mostly in the central and southern parts of it. Got a lot of mountains in the southern part, but for the most part, it's known as high desert. Known for its mining, silver mines and gold and some other things. Still known for mining, it's the leading producer of silver in Mexico, and Mexico is one of the leading producers of silver in the world, and most of it comes from Zacatecas. But like I said, as I'm driving and I'm looking at this empty desert, I noticed these signs on the side of the road, Morelos, 8 kilometers that way. There's nothing there. And I noticed a bunch of these different signs. For some reason, the thought came to my heart, my mind, who's going out there to tell them the gospel? At the time, I wasn't thinking about being a missionary. I was just, that thought was there. I drove all the way to Fresnillo. I visited Manuel. You prayed for Manuel. I drove back, and that thought hit me again. Who's going out there? I made 3 trips to see Manuel while I was there. They finally released him. He's now serving the Lord in Acuña. Got a church there, and he's trying to work with a church in Nuevo Laredo. But all of my trips, that thought stayed with me. We moved back to San Antonio. come to the mission conferences. And so help me, every time we have a mission conference, somebody stand up. Who wants to go? Well, I did. And I prayed about it. And I sought counsel about it, and I prayed about it some more. I told my wife about it, and her jaw dropped. I've got a picture of it. I'll show you one day. And then she began to pray about it. And I just learned this the other day, because when I stood up to volunteer and she took my hand, I knew she was with me. But she hadn't told me yet that the Lord had laid it on her heart to quit early her job so we could go to Mexico. So the last night of the mission conference, after a lot of burden, a lot of prayer, a lot of consideration, I took her hand and we stood up and volunteered to go. So that's what I'm going to do. My intention is not to go to the city of Zacatecas. I will probably live there to start with. My intention is to go to the villages, the outlying areas where very few people ever get to go. 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, three mission conferences ago, we had a missionary here from Town East Baptist Church named David West. That's what he does in San Luis Potosí. It was a thrill to my heart to find somebody else that did that and encouraged me. And I talked to him, and he invited me to come down. And so last month, I went down and I spent a week with him, almost a week. And he showed me what he did and what he was doing and how he was doing it. And I'm going to take some of his advice, some of his teaching, and I'm going to try and apply it to reaching some people. I know, because I have been there, I have been with missionaries who've done it. I know that missionaries, even today, are still trying to go out into these villages and these places. So it's not that they haven't been tried to be reached. For some reason, the Lord laid this on my heart, so that's what I'm going to do. I know I've been to the villages where people couldn't drive to. Billy and Dale climbed a mountain. I went with them. Climbed a mountain carrying a projector and went up into some villages in the jungles of Mexico. Went with my dad in some remote villages in Guatemala. But this is what the Lord laid on my heart, to try and reach some of these people that literally there are places where the road ends. And there's five buildings if you look at it on a Google map. There's no place for a church. There's no place for a community. I don't know who's talking to him. I enjoyed working with David West while he was there, and he was showing me different things, and he is going in, talking to people, how he's talking to them, how he's approaching them, trying to do it very patient, very slow, I guess you might say ineffective in that, not efficient, not ineffective, but maybe inefficient way of evangelizing. Zacatecas happens to have the second lowest percentage of evangelized Christians in the whole country of Mexico, the state with the second lowest. It's like 2.8% of all the people. It's not a very populated state. It only has 1.6 million people. They say that about one and a half million people actually live in the states from Zacatecas. They don't stay there very well. It is, like all of Mexico, the average education of the people who are there is just to the finish start of the ninth grade. They finish the eighth grade, start the ninth grade. Somewhere in that range was the highest level of education. That's the normal average level of education. I don't know what I'm going to find in all these villages. I know that violence in Zacatecas seems to be one of the highest in the states of all of the states of Mexico, but it's not the only state. There are a lot of states with a lot of violence, especially where the drug trade's going. And it goes up the western side of Zacatecas. So if you pray for us, remember that. That's why I'm going to Zacatecas to start with, because it's probably the safest place, and I'm not going to put my wife in the most danger if I can avoid it. But this is where I'm going. I'm going to try and start picking systematically and methodically. See if I can hit every house, every farmhouse, every ranch house, every small village, and try and get the gospel to them one way or another. If I can sit down and talk to them, and that takes me 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, then I'll sit and talk to them. If there's nobody there, I plan on leaving our track. Try and start Bible studies. Try and do something to reach them and give them maybe a correspondence course some way so that they can hear the gospel and try to live, learn from the gospel and grow in the truth, grow in the Bible, and if possible, establish some churches if the Lord opens that door. That's my plan. Plans change and sometimes things get in the way, but that's where we're going. I can tell you honestly, I am thrilled at this opportunity for myself. I'm leaving a granddaughter that I love very much. I'm leaving a grandson I haven't yet met. I'm leaving kids behind. But I'd rather go there. And I'm going to share some reasons with you here just a minute. I do ask for your prayer. I'm going as a retiree. Not looking for financial support. If you want to support me, that's between you and God. I will do my best to use it for God's work. I do want your prayers. I do ask that as you think about us, you would just lift up a prayer and say, bless Eddie and Donna. Bless their work. Bless what they do. Bless their testimony. Bless their witness. Bless their mouth so that they can reach souls for Jesus Christ. As I was thinking about what to say this morning, I'm trying to think, my goodness, I can't spend a whole hour talking about what I'm going to do. Let me share with you a couple of verses, some passages in Scripture. They affected my life toward this goal, if you will. I'm going to start in Hebrews 11, chapter 11 and verse 6. One of my favorite verses, apparently I've said something about it because somebody recently dropped on my doorstep on my porch a little wooden plaque, and they had this verse on it. And I appreciate it. I don't know who did it. If you're here, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I love this verse. This verse has been important to me most of my life. But recently, while I was in Del Rio, 6 years ago, I had a heart attack. They opened my chest and did 4 bypasses. Then the Lord gave me a stroke and got my attention, changed the way I think, changed the way I do some things, changed some of my interest. And I started spending more time reading the Bible than a lot of other things. And I found this verse. Not that it had been missing or lost. But I don't know, if you read the Bible, you start trying to search the Bible and study the Bible, all of a sudden a verse reaches out and gets your attention. And all of a sudden you decide, hey, that's worth my interest. And you reach out and get its attention. You lay hold on it. And that's what this verse did to me. I'd like to share a few thoughts out of that and maybe a few other passages this morning. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Somebody challenged me years ago to define faith. I think I know what faith is, but it made this verse much more prominent in my way of thinking. And I come back to this verse, and I've never had a problem understanding God is. I know God exists. I have no doubt about that. I am not so stupid that I can look at a world and not say there's a world maker. Somebody came up with this. And the more I understand about science and the more I understand about biology, the more I understand about fauna and flora and whatever else this world has to offer, I know there is an intelligent designer out there somewhere made this. Every one of us ought to know that instinctively. That is just common sense. Although some people don't think common sense exists, it's not very common. But the fact of the matter is that everything you wear was made by somebody. You drove here in something, it was made by somebody, and you know who made it. You have a watch, you have a phone, you have all sorts of gadgets, you have a house. They were all built by somebody. We know by logic there is a world maker, there is a God. Now, it may be that you don't understand how to reach him or to know him. We can show you that today. We would love to, if you don't know that. But I've never had a doubt about God is. I do believe that God is. What got my attention was the last part of that verse. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Somehow, it got into my mind, I want reward from God. That's what I want. Amen. That changed my living. It changed my thinking. It changed my purpose. It changed what I do. It changed why I do it. I want reward from God. He says he rewards people that diligently seek him. I can do that. That's something you can do. Everybody in this room can diligently seek out God. He tells us to seek his face. He tells us to be searching after him. He tells us to love him with all of our heart. He tells us to do some things to follow after him. It says we can seek him out, and he says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't do it haphazard. There has to be some thought, some interest, some diligence, some effort, some enthusiasm put into it if you're going to be a diligent seeker of God. But I decided if God would reward, I would be diligent in trying to seek him out. That changed my life. So I started reading, I started praying, I started making sure, I was going to church already. But I made it a point to be diligent on a regular, consistent, daily basis to seek my God. It has strengthened my faith. It has strengthened my love for God. It has encouraged me in so many other different ways. But the fact of the matter is, I still want God's reward. I want his smile. If that's just the only place to start with, I want his smile. I want his countenance to be shining upon me. I want that when he looks at me, he says, Eddie, you're doing a good job. Let me encourage you a little bit. I want his smile. But you know, the Bible talks about a lot of rewards. Jesus did a lot of talking about rewards. It's a good thing. Even back to the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus first started preaching and he started preaching to the people, he tells them, you know, you've got all these things you can do. You can do your alms and they do all these things. He says, you do it in secret and God will reward you openly. God's interested in rewards. He wants to reward you. He wants to reward me. I want that reward. I want God's blessing. I want that reward. He says other things about reward. He talks about somebody giving a cup of water in the name of a disciple won't. He shall not lose his reward. So there's a reward to people that follow God. He tells the people to lay up for themselves treasure in heaven, not on this earth. Where's your treasure? David made me a little USB that I could plug into my truck while I was driving. And there was a song on it. Debbie told me who authored it. My sister sang it. I don't know when she did, but it was a blessing to me. Said her treasure was Jesus. That she was living for a treasure, going for a treasure. And that treasure was Jesus. You know, that's what I want. I want the treasure that God offers me in heaven. I want the treasure not so much to be of this world, but to be eternal. That's what I'm going for. So our labor is not in vain. He's not unrighteous to forget our labor. He says that a faithful deacon will purchase to himself great boldness in the faith. I always wonder about that. A faithful deacon purchases to himself. How do you purchase something? Jesus told the church in Laodicea, buy of me gold tried in the fire. treasure. Something that's eternal. Something that, moth and rust can't corrupt, the thieves can't break through and steal. That's what I'm looking for. And he says that you can purchase some things. How do you purchase it if you're a faithful deacon? It's hard work. Being faithful. I'm going to get to crowns in a minute, but one of the crowns is by being a faithful servant minister of God. Faithfulness, consistency, diligence in serving God, seeking God, trying to serve God and please Him. You can purchase to yourself riches and rewards. It says the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. You're going to go through some things. You go through a trial of your faith. You go through a trial of difficulty. You go through a trial of whether or not you can actually consistently keep going to serve God because of the trial of your faith. And Peter said it's more precious than gold. Don't give up on God because that's more precious in reward than anything you can gain on this earth. You may gain temporary peace. You might actually gain a better job. You might gain more reward, a better income or whatever on this earth, but you're going to lose in the long run because God is eternal. The reward of God is eternal. The smile of God is much more eternal. I want God's reward. Jesus also said something else to the church in Philadelphia. He said, let no man take that crown. We can get it. There is reward to be had. There is reward that we can find. There is reward that God wants to give us. But we need to also be careful that we don't quit or we don't slide, we don't faint, that nobody takes our crown, that we don't lose it. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, now I've already gotten out of my order on my outline, but that's all right. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved so as by fire. Told very clearly, there's a judgment coming. What we do in this life is going to be judged. It's actually going to be judged by fire. It's going to be burned. It's going to go through the fire of God's examination. And we're only given six different building materials here. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Which of those will survive the fire? Which of those is harder to get? Which of those is more valuable? Which of those would actually create for you a reward? Well, obviously, gold, silver, and precious stones. Jesus said, buy of me gold. That's what I want. I'm looking for the gold. That's what I'm going for. In my decision to go to Mexico, in my decision to serve the Lord here in this church, in my decision to serve the Lord in Del Rio, I'm looking for God's reward. I want Him to bless me. I want Him to bless my wife. I want Him to bless my children. I want Him to bless my church. I want Him to bless my extended family. I want Him to bless my state, my city, my nation. But I want God's blessing. I'm going for it. And he said you can get gold and silver and precious stones. You can also build with wood, hay, and stubble. So I have tried to change the way I do things to make sure I'm doing it God's way. I've tried to change the way I think about things, the way I pray, the way I try and approach people, the way I deal with my neighbors, the way I deal with whatever, any ministry or any opportunity I have, I'm trying to change it so that what comes out of it is worth having, worth building with. So as I establish my life and I build my life and I build the different parts of my life and I build the different things that I do in my life and I try and teach my kids or be a minister to somebody else, I want it to be worth doing so that it actually is worth gold, silver, precious stones. You ever think about what God built the New Jerusalem with? Gold and precious stones. The foundations are 12 different precious stones. Now, I don't know if they're the biggest stones in the world or the big, you know, cement mix of precious stones. I don't know that. He says the streets are paved with pure gold. So pure is like clear glass. I would like my life to have some of that gold. Purified, precious, that God thinks is valuable, and God will give me a reward. I'd like a lot of reward. I mean, I'd get a lot. But I don't want to get to heaven and have nothing. So, I've changed my direction. When I moved here to San Antonio, I decided I'm going to serve God. I'm going to get in this church, and I'm going to serve Him with all that I can. If I can find a place of ministry, I'm going to do it. Whatever it may be. Cutting the grass, fixing things, just helping, going out on operations on San Antonio, whatever it is, I'm trying. I want to be faithful at it. I want to be consistent at it. I want to be diligent at it because I do want the reward. I know that there is a reward in doing a lot of things. There is a satisfaction for being a help to the church and being a part of the group, being a part of the team. I understand all that. But I want God's reward. I'm looking for that reward. And if I can encourage you this morning, I want you to look for that reward. Amen. It's worth having. So much of my life I spent serving me. And I was successful in my life. Successful in business. I was successful in the army. Successful in things. I have lived in very nice houses. I have lived on like a king in many ways. But it dawned on me, all of that is worth nothing the day I die. A good friend of my dad's died here this past week. A businessman, successful, Christian. But everything he had in this life was left behind. I'm 65 years old as of this week. I may not have 20 years. My dad's going to turn 85 in a couple months. I may make it to there. But it doesn't matter. If I've only got 1 year left, I want the Lord to have it. Amen. I want the Lord to get the best out of me that He can. And I want my exchange for that year or whatever I have left to be the most valuable exchange I've ever made in my life. That God is going to reward me for what I spent doing for Him. That's what I'm going for. So I want that gold. I made the decision. I was reading this verse a while back, going through with my regular studies. And it dawned on me, Eddie, do you want that gold? And I said, yes. And I have consciously made decisions and made my purposes so that I could get gold. I want that treasure. And I don't know if this is a proper application, but I was thinking about those precious stones that it mentions there. You know, 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about lively stones. I'm looking for some lively stones. If I can find some lively stones and add them to my collection, I think those are precious stones. Jesus said that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. If I can find some lively stones, I think that's going to be a great reward. On that note, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19 says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." There's a crown there that I'm interested in. It's a crown of rejoicing. He also mentions it in Corinthians. The crown are people we've won. Crown of joy, the crown of rejoicing are souls that have been brought to Jesus Christ, gathered for his coming, gathered for his kingdom, plucked from the burning as a brand plucked from the fire. Souls that are brought to Jesus Christ, given the gospel, and they turn their lives over to him. And Paul said, "You are my crown of rejoicing." I would like a big crown. I'm going for a big crown. I'll take what I can get. I'm going to try and be faithful in serving the Lord and sharing the gospel and giving them the gospel the best way I know how so that they get it right. I want a big crown. But I want that crown of rejoicing. I want souls for my labor. I want souls for my time invested. I want souls that Jesus Christ is going to say, "You did good, son. You were a faithful witness." We've got some souls here that know Jesus Christ are going to spend eternity in heaven because you went to tell them about Jesus Christ. I want that crown of rejoicing. So I'm going for it. There are three other crowns mentioned in the New Testament. The crown of righteousness, those that love his appearing. The crown of life, those that endure temptation for the love of Christ. The crown of glory for faithful service, faithful elders, faithful people, preach the gospel. But that crown of rejoicing is the one that I'm going for right now. That fit what I wanted to talk about this morning. I want the reward of God. One other verse I'd like to share with you, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1. You may know it. It stuck out to me. Help me correct some things in my life. It says, "Through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom." First thing, you need a desire to serve God. It's talking about getting wisdom. But there is a truth here. If you want to serve God, you want to count for God, you want to get a reward from God, you're going to have to separate yourself. You're going to have to get a desire for it so that that desire overcomes other desires and other temptations and other attractions. And you can actually count for something. Through desire, a man having separated himself, you know, you're not going to separate yourself from everything else if you don't have a desire for it. You have a desire for being good in business, you're going to separate yourself from a lot of other junk that you can do in this world. You have a desire for being a good father, you're going to have to separate yourself from doing a lot of other fishing and hunting maybe, so that you can be a good father. None of those things are easy. I know when we're young, we think we can do it all. Then we get to realize that sometimes you have to give up some things to get some other things, and you have to choose, I want this over that, and that's a choice of desire. And that's what he's talking about. You need a desire to do something. So you can also choose what you're going to desire. You can feed certain desires and you can starve other desires. You need to learn how to do that so that you can count for something. I desire to have a good marriage, which means I have to work at it. I have to do some things. I have to separate myself from other things and spend some time with my wife because I want that. What do you want? I have a desire to please God. I have a desire to see God being effective in my life. I have a desire so that God would use me for His glory and for His honor. And that's what I'm doing. I've decided to go to Mexico. I've decided to go to Zacatecas. And by the grace of God, by His help, I'm going to go there. My wife and I are going to retire there. And if we live out our lives there, that's fine with me. I want God to bless. I ask for you to pray for us that He would bless and honor, that we would be faithful, consistent, diligent, enthusiastic, and healthy to do the job. By God's grace, we will. Thank you.